this is your Polycast for Tuesday, December 20th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, one Minnesota elector breaks faith and climate change in the new legislature. Once again, Minnesota is home to a faithless elector. Minnesota's 10 electoral votes went to Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton yesterday, as expected, but that was only after an elector was replaced following his vote for Bernie Sanders instead of the candidate who won the state's popular vote. It added a little drama to a process that usually has little. Brian Baxt reports.
There were a few things different this year from the normally staid ceremony during which Minnesota's electors cast their votes. First, it wasn't at the Capitol. Because of the ongoing renovation, this year it was across the street at the Senate office building. And there were people protesting the Electoral College who spoke up every now and then. They wanted a delay in the vote, and they urged electors to vote their conscience. Still, everything was on script when Secretary of State Steve Simon reached the halfway point in his vote counting.
Congressional District 5, Muhammad Abdurrahman.
Simon shuffled through papers at his podium for more than a minute before declaring that Abdurrahman had broken his elector pledge and would be excused.
This ballot, these ballots for President of the United States and for Vice President of the United States will not be counted.
People who don't vote for the candidate who won a state's popular vote are known as faithless electors. It happened in 2004 when someone voted for John Edwards instead of John Kerry for president. That time it looked like an accident. But Minnesota lawmakers changed a state law to provide an instant process for removing electors who go off script. Abdurrahman says he voted for Sanders for president instead of Clinton, and Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard for vice president instead of Tim Kaine.
Because I don't agree with the Minnesota statute that makes an elector vacate their position for not voting a certain way.
He wouldn't say if he would challenge the law on constitutional grounds after being replaced.
I'll just say that I don't believe that the Constitution fits with the law.
His backup voted for Clinton, and the state's 10 votes went for her, just as they have for every Democratic White House candidate since 1976. Simon says his staff had prepared for the possible hiccup, and he had the obligation to enforce the law. The DFLer says he had no advance warning.
We had anticipated that this might be a possibility, and it was, and that's okay. The show went on, and under Minnesota state law, if we have a so-called faithless elector, someone who votes for someone to whom they're not pledged, then the consequence there is simply that that person is removed as elector in favor of their designated alternate elector, and that's exactly what happened.
It was the capstone to an election that has exposed many raw nerves. Dozens of Trump opponents held signs and chanted outside the Capitol Complex building where the assembly convened. Earlier, a group of DFL legislators said they would make another run at changing the Electoral College process. Specifically, they want Minnesota to join a compact that would award the state's Electoral College votes based on the national popular vote winner. DFL Senator-elect Carolyn Lane, a former House member from Columbia Heights, says the time for change has come.
I consider the Electoral College defunct. It was set up in a different time for reasons that are no longer valid.
The bill has had bipartisan backing in the past, but has routinely gotten bogged down. There is no indication it will fare any better when Republicans assume full control of the legislature in January. In fact, House Speaker Kurt Dowd says the state should adopt a system that apportions electoral votes based on the results in congressional districts. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Mincher says the number of people enrolled in health plans for next year is double last year's tally at this time. Mark Zadeklik reports.
Minsure CEO Allison O'Toole says more than 54,000 Minnesotans have signed up for 2017 plans through Minsure. O'Toole says 6 out of every 10 private plan enrollees were eligible for tax credits, averaging more than $600 a month to help cover premiums. O'Toole says 2 primary factors explain the record enrollment.
This is our 4th open enrollment period, so people understand what they need to do and when they need to do it and how to do it, so that's part of it. But this year, as you know, we have some changes in the marketplace going on. The health plans have capped their enrollments, and I think that has really encouraged consumers to shop sooner than later this year.
Open enrollment for coverage effective January 1st ended last week. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota is falling short of the emission reduction targets lawmakers set a decade ago to address climate change, but there's little consensus how or even if the state should change course. Republicans will control both the House and Senate when the legislature meets in January. They'll have to find common ground with DFL Governor Mark Dayton on both budget and policy, and that could leave little room for progress on climate change. Elizabeth Dunbar has the story.
Before the November elections, Minnesota environmental groups and DFL lawmakers had been generally optimistic about getting back on track with the state's climate change goals. In July, Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith declared support for raising the state's renewable energy standard from 25 to 50%.
Because the truth is that we want to not only be making progress on this, I think that Minnesota wants to be leading on this again.
But a lot changed with the elections. President-elect Trump has rejected the scientific consensus that carbon emissions are directly linked to climate change. And he nominated the CEO of an oil company to oversee international agreements, including one reached a year ago in Paris on addressing climate change. In Minnesota, Republicans now have the majority in the legislature. They talk about the environment and energy a lot differently than President Obama and other Democrats. Here's how the incoming chair of the Senate Environment and Energy Committee describes his priorities.
I do want to focus on making energy in Minnesota affordable, dependable, and balanced.
GOP Senator David Osmek is from Eden Prairie.
There is a place for coal in Minnesota.
Osmek talked about environment and energy issues last week at a legislative preview forum organized by the Environmental Initiative. The view that coal should continue serving Minnesota's electricity needs is often paired with arguments about keeping good-paying power plant jobs and worrying whether wind and solar can be reliable enough.
The most important variable we need to keep in mind with energy is diversification.
That's the House's Energy Committee Chair, GOP Representative Pat Garofalo of Farmington.
You don't want to put all your money into one stock. But what you do want is a diversified portfolio, and it's the same thing with our energy.
So there will be more debate at the Capitol this year over coal versus clean energy jobs and whether wind, solar, and batteries will be ready to replace energy behemoths like Xcel Energy's Sherco plant. But even if lawmakers find places to agree on those issues, there's still this.
Climate change is real, it's caused by people, and it's getting worse.
DFL Representative Frank Hornstein of Minneapolis is sure about it, but many of his colleagues in the legislature aren't. DFL Senator John Marty of Roseville says lawmakers should think about the effects policies have on future generations.
We got to start taking a look, all of us, both parties, every corner of the state, not just the impacts, what happens this year, but what the impacts are going to be on our grandchildren and their grandchildren, because I think that's something that's sorely missing in all of our environmental discussion.
If lawmakers do find a way this session to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in a significant way, transportation might be where it happens. Garofalo, the Energy Committee chair, says he wants to give alternative fuel vehicles a boost.
Convert diesel vehicles to propane, electric, natural gas, or a combination of all three. And this is going to reduce operating costs for those that have them, and it's going to result in a substantially reduced emissions profile.
One way to do that, he says, is by tapping into a pot of $44 million Minnesota is set to receive over the next decade from the settlement in the big scandal involving Volkswagen's vehicle emissions. Reporting on the environment, Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.